Thank you, Lord God. We're continuing our series on, drew a blank, all things work together for good. Yes, yes, yes. Pray for me, Glenda. He said, all right, Lord, I need you. I need you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What a promise. Amen. Amen. What a promise. All things work together for good. Let's open up our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Beginning with verse 28. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Reading down through verse 31. Glory be to God. And it reads, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Because those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn, the preeminent, the prominent one among many brothers and sisters. And those whom he predestined, he also what? Called. And those whom he called, what did he do? Justify. And those whom he justified, what did he do? Glorify. Hallelujah. What then shall we say to these incredible things? Since God for us, who against us? He's for us, and no one can successfully be against us. What a promise we have here. And we went over the first couple of times about talking about verse 31. God is for us, and this is the God who is guaranteeing this promise. A God who is our refuge and our strength. A God who is our stronghold. A God who is our fortress. A God who is everlasting. The God who is the creator of the ends of the earth. He is greater than everything. Greater is he that is in us. Whoa, wait a minute. The God who's the creator of heaven and earth, who is the stronghold, he happened to be in us, not afar off. Greater is he that is in you. He has taken up permanent residence in us and he that is in the world. What shall we say to these things, right? If God for us, who against us? No matter what goes wrong in the world, do you really believe that? No matter how bleak things might become, and I'm talking about morally, they're bleak. Spiritually, they are bleak. Economically, militarily, maritally, socially, physically, doesn't make a difference. Nothing can successfully defeat us since God is for us. That's a Selah moment. Just pause and calmly think about that. I don't care what you're going through. It literally doesn't matter. I'm not saying it doesn't matter that you're going through it and that you're being affected probably spiritually, naturally, physically, emotionally, mentally. What I'm saying is what you're going through as far as the Lord being on your side and working that thing out for your good and his good doesn't matter. You follow what I'm saying? I don't want to come off as being insensitive or lacking compassion when I say it doesn't matter. I'm saying as far as the power of God, it doesn't matter. And you all have had some horrible things happen to you. Has the Lord ever left you?
Never.
I mean, there was no hesitation on no one here. Not once. I don't care how bad it's been. And it's been bad. Tears, fears, wonderings. Sometimes we despair of life even itself. We've been in that kind of position. Am I not right?
Absolutely.
You begin to wonder, will I live? Am I going to make it through the night? The next 5 seconds? But the Lord is for us. And that's the God. Go back. Are you still at Romans 8, verse 28? That's the God who is promising. And we know. And for those who love God, God, as the other NASB says, God works together all things for the good. God is doing this. And we know that that ultimate good is in verse 30. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. So the ultimate good of everything is glorification. Now we're going to get down, break it down into, you know, the good, what good, working for the good entails. But ultimately, the good, that's the ultimate good, is for our glorification. Can you see why no matter what happens, no depth or height, things present, things to come, angels, demons, nobody can stop what God has prepared for his people from before the foundation of the world? That's why we took you through who this God is. Read all of those scriptures about being a stronghold and being on your side and being the creator of heaven and earth. And then he tells us, he has the nerve to tell us, I'm living in you. Don't think of me way up in heaven somewhere far, far away. Remember, I'm spirit and I deal with your spirit. So there's no space. That's beyond the spatial realm, if you will. Glory be to God. So one of the prayers we learned when we grabbed a hold of the prayers that avail much was to be God inside minded. That's a good prayer because he's right there. 1 John 4:4 again. Greater is he that is in you. He lives in you. He dwells in you. He's taking up residence in you permanently. He's not going anywhere.
Thank you, Lord.
So when your loved one, when your little boy dies suddenly, he's still there.
Thank you, Lord.
It's not about I'm crying, I'm broke down. It's not a lack of faith. That's on you, human.
Amen.
Sin affects our humanity.
Yes,
it most certainly does. One of our students went on a trip. And, you know, maybe a day or so, started not feeling well. So her parents drove up, got her, took her home. They wasn't feeling any better. Took her to the hospital in pneumonia and had a heart attack. I think she's 16, maybe 17. Maybe one or two heart attacks. They lifted her to the children's hospital.
Her heart stopped.
Three times her heart stops. Now she's in a medically induced coma. 16 or 17 years old. Just like the going record trip. And days later, here she is literally fighting for her life. The song says, we are a moment. How can you ever trust in you? How? We can't do anything apart from him. We can't even breathe. Although we breathe all the time, it's still not because of us. I'll tell Sister Rolanda, you know, these men and women of power who have enough money and influence that can apparently, so to speakly, not a word, bend the universe to their will. You know, remember we talked about the consequence of ideas. All these things, whether it be LGBTQ or abortion or the theory of evolution, Big Bang, all those start out as ideas. And you just had enough money, power, and influence to actually get it out there to where it can become a part of the culture. Well, you can get a false sense of thinking, man, I am God. Look what I have done. Not realizing that's a God who just allowed you to put that lie out there because somehow he's working even that lie for his good and glory. Be very careful.
Yes.
Any successes that you have in your life that's positive and in line with the word of God, it's because of God. Period. No matter how extraordinary you may be, it has nothing to do with you. You need to understand that, because then you won't have trouble believing the promise that he's working it together for your good. That's why we'll get to, when we exegete the verse here, when it says, and we know. Remember that we can know, because everybody, no, it's not automatic. You're not going to automatically know this. You can know it the way that verb is constructed in the Greek. It's not that you automatically know, but you can know to a great, intimate, personal, powerful degree that for those who love God, God is working it for your good and his. You can know that. The reason why it's not automatic is because there's so many of God's children who don't have faith in their father. Do you understand that? If you don't have faith in your father, that prohibits you from knowing this without any uncertainty. Do you understand that? If you have faith in him, then you know, okay, I know he got this. While you're crying and broken because you received horrible news, you still know God is on my side. The Lord is still here. He hasn't gone anywhere. This is the God of the universe. He created the heavens and the earth. He knew this situation. Lord, this has surprised me, but it never surprised you. Was Job surprised? Was he taken aback? Was he blown sideways? Yes, 10 children and all of his wealth gone in a 24-hour moment. We can know that even in that, God is working all things together for good. I want to show you something. Turn over to Revelation chapter 21, I believe. Then we're going to go to Revelation 22. Revelation 21. I love to read this. Love it. Then I saw, and then there's something. Hey, y'all, listen. Your future is secure. Yes, thank you, Jesus is right. Your future is secure. You know, we have what the world craves, to know the future. In the 90s, I think it was the 90s, the psychic network just went crazy. Had all kind of networks trying to find the future. Tea leaf readers, palm readers, tarot cards. We have a settled future. And it is told to us not by a fortune teller or a palm reader, but by God Almighty himself, personally. And he did it without any I sense that you, and they tell you things you already know. I sense you've had stress in your life. Everybody living has stress in their life. That ain't nothing new. I'm like, oh, wow. And we sitting over there dumb as I don't know what. Wow, they know what they're talking about. This is not a lak-lak-oom. This is the God of the universe who before the, I keep stressing, that's stepping back, let you know, man, this was way before we were ever in existence. Before anything was in existence. God already saw your entire life from birth until glorification. Just think about that. Every heartbreak, every heartache, every joy, every moment of happiness, he has seen it all. And he's used every bit of all of that for good. Every bit of verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and new earth. Thank you, Lord, for that. For the first heaven and first earth passed away. Why? Sin. Especially on earth. And there is no longer any sea. That's deep. It specifically mentions that. Some of the theologians say that's because sea to the first century Jew and before that was just meant death and danger. See, we sitting on big ocean liners. Well, that wasn't out there back then. You made a trek across the sea. A lot of folks died in that sea. That's why the word of God says, and the sea gave up their dead. It's a whole lot of dead people at the bottom of the sea. And I'm not going to be dogmatic, but I think I'll agree with them that this represents danger and death. So when he says, and there's no longer any sea, well, guess what? Our bodies, 75% water, the earth, 75% water. That was the climate that was needed for things to, we don't need that anymore. No more sea. It's something that it takes the time to mention that. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. I know you know this, but just a reminder, the holy city is coming down here on earth. We tend to be going to be up in heaven, like kind of looking down. No, we're going to be right down here on earth. And right in the middle of that holy city is where God is going to make his abode. I know that's just mind blowing. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. There you see it right there. Tabernacle, where he lives, where he dwells, is going to be right there among us. And he will dwell, live, reside permanently among them. They shall be his people. And look at this. God will be, what come after God? And God will be himself personally. Look at the emphasis. This is God himself will be among them. Is he not trying to make a point? Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. He will dwell among them. They shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. Three times in that verse. He's trying to get it because you're reading it and you're hearing even right now. I don't think it ain't even registered. It ain't registered. You're just sitting there like a big old man. I love it, Mr. Arnold. Mr. Arnold said, no, it's not. I mean, it is so much. It's so much that God is going to live among us. Come on. I got to take my coat off. It is too hot up in here. Hallelujah. God himself personally going to be among us. You think he's trying to tell us something? Through John the Revelator. I love Revelation amongst all of them because they thought they could silence the man of God. 90 years old and they banish you to an isle. Put you in prison at 90 years old. And all God did was, remember, all things worked together. Could God have stopped them? Could stop the government from putting his man in prison at 90? Sure. But he didn't. He used that evil. And all he did was write the book of Revelation. My Lord and my God. Verse 4 will forever remind me of Kirk Franklin and Brooke Harris. And God, he will wipe away every tear from the eye. That's how Brooke would say it. Preacher. Y'all remember that song? What was that? Revolution. Do you want a revolution? And he would say, Revelation 21, verse 4 says, and God wiped away every tear. And Brooke was about 4, 3, 4. And she would, from the eye. She tried to say it like Kirk Franklin says. Yeah, wipe away every tear from the eye. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. If I can get my charismatics, somebody ought to lift a hand or two and say, thank you, Jesus. Wipe away every tear from
their eye. Now that's a promise I stand on, Miss Darlene, when I'm at a funeral. And when I see others crying, that's what makes me sad. The situation itself does. I thank God he sent me through a funeral, because there was a time that once my dad died in 68, I had a tough time at funerals from like 68 to 72. And I'm like, you know what? Why go through this? I would have nightmares. In a nightmare, I would be the one in the casket. I told you this. And the lid would always slam shut. I would wake up gasping for air. And like, it just came to me, why are you doing this? You don't have to go. I was seventh, eighth grade, and I don't know, Susan probably don't remember, but your brothers. So when I declared, I'm not going to any more funerals, I'm going to take, I don't know if I decided to take 10 years off, but I took 10 years off, 9 or 10 years off. And so my mother's twin sister husband died, or boyfriend, I'm like, whatever. He died in Cleveland. And that was my beginning of not going. And Susan's brothers, Keith and Curtis Jr., came and spent the night with me, because I was the only one at home. And I was seventh, eighth grade. And they spent the night, and I'll never forget that. So that I wouldn't be alone. And mother and I went on to the funeral and came back. And for the next 9 or 10 years, I didn't go to funerals. And this is my testimony. The reason I'm going through this, because the Lord knew back in eternity past that I've chosen that guy who can't even go to funerals now and function properly to preach funerals as part of the profession and the calling which I have put on this young man's life. Isn't that something? And sure enough, it went from couldn't even be around a funeral home or any of that to falling asleep at a funeral, because I got so comfortable and the preacher was preaching long and I ended up falling asleep. And I just part of the testimony. Pray for me. Susu, don't look like that. It's a testimony though. I'll never forget it. It was at Conrad Dixon's father's funeral. Fell asleep. I remember when I woke up, I said, Lord, what have you done? I go from being on pins and needles to being so comfortable that I could fall asleep at a funeral. I was amazed, early 80s, amazed. But he was preparing me for this day. Now, I said all that for some reason, but go wipe away every tear. Yeah. Wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. Hallelujah. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. Look how he goes with, yes, no pain. How about that one? How about wipe away every tear? No longer be any mourning or crying. Tears, mourning, crying. That's what's a, is if you just, that's, yes it is. She said a constant rotation. Tears, mourning, crying. Tears, mourning, crying. It mentions all three. Tell me that is not by accident. The Lord knows what sin has done to the human existence. That's why I heard R.C. Sproul first refer to this walk of this life as a veil of tears. That's exactly what it is. That's why it's amazing that we can still have joy in the midst of this veil of tears. Just amazing. It's amazing we can hear bad news, pray for it, but still be somewhat normal after hearing it. It's just amazing. That's all the grace of God. I mean, and I remember thinking, wow, you know, Lord, you know, that person, loved one has died or is dying. And, you know, but we're over here. I believe he let me know. Yeah, because if everybody felt the same as who functioned, you know, I've made where you can still hear that, pray for them, but still be functional to do what I called you to do. So thank God we just don't break all the way down. We do have sympathy and we do empathize, but thank God we can still, through his strength, grace, and mercy, go ahead and bounce back. Well, there will come a time where every tear will be wiped away. There will be no more death,
No longer any mourning or crying or pain. The first things passed away. See, that's all gone. Why are those things going to be gone, my Bible scholars? No more death, hint, hint. No more death, hint, hint. Yeah, but why? There you go, no more sin. No more sin. Remember, crying, mourning, tears, death, pain is all because of sin. So when all sin is removed, no more death, no more crying, no more mourning, no more pain. The wages of sin is death. Remember Romans 5:12, through one man sin entered the world, and death toward all men because all have sinned. I mean, death is passed upon all men because all have sinned. So once you take away sin, the root of all of this, there's none of that. Have you ever thought about it on this side? That means nothing bad will never happen anymore in heaven. Or in the new millennium. Or not new millennium, in eternity future. Nothing bad will not take place anymore. Nothing bad. Just think about that. It will always be good forever. Just let that sit. We get an hour of nothing bad happening. We are thankful. We are appreciated. But forever, nothing bad, only good. I took you here because in a sideways, backward, sidewinding kind of a slipped in kind of a way, that's what he's telling us in Romans 8:28. But what do you mean by that? Well, because everything that happens is eventually going to work out for good. That's the point I'm making. I don't care what it is. Now, true, it's bad in the moment of what's happening. But the ultimate result of that is going to be good because the Lord God has promised that. Now, we taught this before, but you got to hear something as profound as this several times before it begins to really sink in. Even the bad, God is working it for your good and his good. And I told you before, and I'm so sad now again, we get in trouble when we try to do what? Say it again. Figure it out. That's when you get in trouble. You're not going to figure it out. We can all get together and cry with Miss Glenda and go back to the spot where little John was shot and killed, and we can all, Lord, just speak to us. Why did this? And we all going to have headaches. We just believe it. You know, Lord, it happened. We're going to believe Romans 8:28. Somehow, even though I don't understand how that worked out for good, but because you said it, you can't lie. Now look what I just did. Went into the character of God. That's what I told you, you got to know him. You said you can't lie. You said it's impossible for you to lie. So since you can't lie, it's impossible for you to lie, then I know somehow this worked out, whether I understand it or not. Amen, hallelujah, is right. You got to know God. The way you get to know him, how do you know God? How do you know that you know God? You obey his will. All right, that's good. I want that to come out just like that. Don't say, ooh, I got to I got to pray 5 days a week. I got to face the eastern sun on the seventh day of the week. And nope, obey him. Obedience. That's how you get to know him. And that's how you know that you know him, because you are constantly, consistently, continually keeping his commandments. When you know him like that, you'll know, you know what, this is working for good. In the midst of my tears, on the way to the morgue, verse 5, and he who sits on the throne says, behold, I'm making all things new. Yeah, man. We got something to look forward to. Revelation 21:5. And we are making all things new. Go to 22. Next chapter over. Verse 22. Then he showed me a river. Now that probably may be the only water there. River of the water of life. Bright as crystal. Coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Does that mean somebody going to get sick? I guess. I don't know. I'm going to keep it moving. And there will no longer be any curse. There you are. And the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. And his slaves will serve him, and they will see his face. What? Remember, no man can see God and live. Why can't we see his face now, my Bible scholar? No sin. We are perfect. I'm with you though, but this is just, we're going to be able to see the face of God? Really? Look right in there? Pause and calmly think about that. Remember, Selah, right in his face. Bam! Because we are now sinless. We are perfect. We're glorified. And it takes a time to mention we will see his face. And we'll see it all forever. No more veil. Manny, you got to have all these hundreds of millions of miles between man and God. Because what if we ever saw him, now the whole world be burnt up. No man can see God and what? And live. Why? Why? We are. Say it again. That's what you say.
I said we are sinful and he's holy.
Ta-da. Period. He's merciful by putting hundreds of millions of miles between us and him. We can't even accidentally see him. Thank God. And we go from that to verse 4. And they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. What does that denote? His name being on our foreheads. Whether it's literal or symbolic, what does it mean? What do you think it means? Yes. Yes, sir, preacher. We belong to him. Ownership. See, we like that, but what we don't like is when we acting a fool out here because somebody done disrespected us and we don't care nothing about representing God. Because we, remember, with those who parent like they should, you threaten your chick, look here, you mine. You go ahead and act like a fool if you think so, if you want to. But I will knock the fool out of you. Well, you got to think like that now. We're his. We belong to him. We were bought with a price. We are not our own. So we don't have a right to not represent God at all times. He calls us slaves in Revelation 22. Still doulos is still going on. Even in eternity future, he's still calling us slaves. Verse 3. And his slaves will serve him. And they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will no longer be any night. Wee deep, ain't it? It won't even get dark outside. Even darkness could be a form of the curse. I can't say that for sure, but it's something he removed all night. And he took the time to mention that. You remember, I've taught you that whenever you see things that may seem a little insignificant or no big deal, numbers, lists, order, what's in that list, it's a big deal. He took the time to mention in verse 5, and there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of a light or of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. Not even the sun. Don't even need the sun.
Can you imagine the brilliance of the glory of God? That's why that song says, I can only imagine. Really, the more proper one would be, I can't even imagine.
Right.
Oh my goodness, this is way beyond us. No night, no crying, no mourning, no death, no pain, no tears, no sickness, no disease, none of that. All gone. It's going to be all good forevermore.
Hey, y'all, don't get it twisted. Don't get caught up in this world where you forget that. But we tend to do that. Don't forget that. Look at our future. And he's made it plain. Why are you reading this?
Because the Lord God is saying, I'm the God that created your future that's going to pull you through this veil of tears and let you know that everything you go through, good or bad, I'm working it to the good. As opposed to the sinner, they just going through it. Think about that. A sinner just goes through it. There is no working it to the good for them. They just in pain and agony. But for us, there's an end game, if you will. There's a goal. There's an objective. A heavenly, eternal objective being worked out. And that eventually is our glorification. Thank you, Lord God. In a few moments that we have here, let's go back. I wanted to kind of bring those things to you before we get into the main text. Let's read verse 28 again. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Just in a few moments here, we'll just begin the first part of 28 again, and then we'll stop there. Again, we know, remember we said, and we can know, we're able to know, God has enabled us to know this promise, this eternal, everlasting promise. The word know, it doesn't mean to casually acquaint oneself with the facts. It's not that. I mean, a sinner can read the words on a page and understand the English sentence. You understand what I'm saying? God is good. Okay? A sinner can do that. But the knowing that this is talking about, being intimately acquainted with, only comes from a spirit that's been raised from the dead. So only God's people can know this to this degree. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me show you right quick. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And look at verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 14. Again, reading from the Legacy Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. I want you to understand that everyone can know what you know to the degree that you know it. Verse 14, but a natural man, who's a natural man? A sinner. Oh, no, that's good. Yeah, that's the bottom line. It's a sinner. We go through one that doesn't know God, one who's spiritually dead. Bottom line, that's a sinner. A sinner is spiritually dead. Listen to this. But a natural man does not accept the deep things, the depth of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him, the natural man, the sinner. And he, look at this, cannot understand them, which means it is impossible. Why? Because they are spiritually examined. Can you see that? And a sinner's spirit is what? It's dead. So how can They understand the things of God. So when I say they can't know it like us, that's why. Because what we're talking is spiritual. And it is to be understood spiritually. Does that make sense? Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. So when it says we know, we can know, this knowing is not just, again, understanding the English declarative sentence. Declarative means states of fact. They understand the facts, but they can't know it like us. So this word know, it means with absolute, settled assurance and absolute confidence. You can know it to that degree. With settled assurance and absolute confidence that God's working together. But I don't know it to that degree yet. Okay, then you got homework assignment. Right? Meditate that. And my advice for them would be then to meditate all the verses we talk about who God is and meditate on the character of God. So that you can know, and of course, continue to obey God while you're doing that, so that you can know who this God is. So that you can know with absolute confidence and settled assurance that he's working it for your good. One commentator writes, Apostle Paul therefore asserts with God's own authority that as believers in Jesus Christ, we can know beyond all doubt. Listen to this. We can know beyond all doubt that every aspect of our lives is in God's hands. I want to say that again. Every aspect of our lives is in God's hands. Remember the song by Kirk Franklin and family? My life is in your hands. That's a great song. Every aspect is in God's hand. I keep going back to Glenda. Just that testimony is just so incredible. She should be crazy today. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, she would be. She's a walking miracle. And most of us don't know her whole testimony. It is brutal. Not just her 3-year-old son being killed accidentally, but all the other things that go along with it. Every aspect. What does every mean? All of it. Good, bad, terrible, horrible. Susu, you got some testimonies too. Every aspect. All of it. Every aspect of our lives is in God's hands and will be divinely used by the Lord. Not only to manifest his own glory, but also to work out our own ultimate blessing. Every aspect. He's working it out. Every bit of it. Our lives are in his hands. That's what we can know with settled assurance and absolute confidence. He's in full control of everything. And I know we look at God, why'd you allow that? Why ask that when, it's because of this. More likely he's not going to tell you. And he has a right to. Hey, he didn't even have to save you through it. He could have just let it just take you sideways. But instead he anchored you. Yes. Kept you clothed in your right mind. He anchored us. Our goal is to be like Job. In all this, Job did not sin. Neither did he charge, blame, and accuse God foolishly. That's quite a testimony from the writer of Job being influenced by the Holy Ghost. That's God's commentary on Job. He never, well, God, would you? Never. In verse 2, chapter 2, once his own help was just all taken away from him, he said, and all the way his wife asked, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Wow. What a testimony. Why? Every aspect of our lives is in God's hands. He's in full control of your life. He won't allow you to be tempted, tested, and tried beyond your ability to endure. And sometimes what you got can endure is very, very, very tough, very hard, very difficult. But he's still there. And you have to know that. I have to know that. We have to know that in the midst of the eye of that storm, the eye of it. We'll pick up next time with this great promise, and we can know what we're going to know, that for those who love God, all things work together for good. What we're going to talk about next week, Lord willing, are the recipients of this great promise. The promise is all things are being worked together for our good. Who is that promise to? For those who love God, who are the called. So next week, Lord willing, we'll talk about the recipients of this grace. Father God, thank you, thank you, thank you for gracing us. Thank you for teaching us today about your greatness. Thank you for the future that you have already secured in eternity past. It cannot be taken away. We have an inheritance. It cannot be taken away. Moths can't eat through, and rust can't corrupt, and thieves can't break through and rob it from us. It is eternal in the heavens. Our name, as I've said, written, and I believe you said through me too, is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and there is nobody with enough whiteout or eraser big enough to remove our names out of that book. And for that, we are forever grateful. Thank you, Lord God, for saving us, securing us eternally. Thank you that everything is being worked out together for good because we love you and we are your called and have been called according to your purpose. Thank you that every aspect of our lives is in your hands to be used by you for your glory. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.